Thank you so much for that tonight. Very powerful song. Little girl was traveling on a train with her dad. As she looked out the window, she saw many things that excited her. "Look, Daddy," she said, "there's a horse. Look, Daddy, there's a cornfield. Look, there's a cow going into the barn. Hey, look, Daddy, there's a pond with ducks on it." Her father, who was busy reading his newspaper, wasn't very responsive. He just kept saying, We've been there, haven't we? Finally, he became annoyed, a little bit embarrassed, because other people were listening into this whole conversation. The train was crowded. He turned to the other passengers seated nearby, and he said, "Please don't mind her. She still thinks everything's wonderful." Now, I want to talk about wonderful. What is wonderful? Children have a capacity for spotting wonderful things that adults sometimes miss. Everything new they see piques their interest, their curiosity, their admiration even. In other words, small children get excited at anything new and different that they may see. And I suppose this was all true of all of us at some point in our lives. It was true when we were little children, but over a period of time, didn't we start losing that sense of wonder? Then we start losing the things to say, "Wow, look at that," because it was the 10th time or the 100th time we saw that. It's Christmas, and this means, of course, that Christmas is a wonderful time for children. But is it as wonderful for adults or teens? That's what I want you to think about. Children are excited about the lights. They're excited about the decorations. They're excited about the gifts under the tree. They're excited about the food. And probably that's the only thing the adults are excited about is the food. But the teens, adults have seen almost everything many times now. We're not so easily impressed, not so easily excited. And we treat Christmas with kind of a big ho-hum sometimes, don't we? Except to watch the faces of the children. The classic Christmas movie, Polar Express, is about a young boy who reclaims his sense of wonder at the experience of Christmas. So we're going to watch the final scene from that movie just now. And as the boy is back home after made this fantastic journey on Christmas Eve, he's come back in. He's in his own bed Christmas morning. And so let's change over. Do you still hear the bell ring on Christmas? Valid question, I think. Is it still something that rings and causes wonder for you to think about the birth of Christ, not just about Santa Claus, but about the birth of Christ? Or do you have kind of that attitude that says, "Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, kid, it's broken. Sorry. Used to work." What is wonder? According to the dictionary, wonder is the emotion aroused by something awe-inspiring, astounding, or surprising. Socrates said that wonder is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, it's our curiosity about new things that causes us to seek understanding. And in the process of exploring new things over and over again, wisdom comes. A wonder is easy for children. A sense of wonder is normal for children, but it is not something we must necessarily lose as we get older, although that's what happens to most. Albert Einstein, one of the smartest individuals who had ever lived, highest IQ, you know, of anybody around him, but in his later years, his biographer said he still never lost his sense of wonder. He would sit for hours and contemplate how things worked in this universe and things that nobody had figured out, but he was trying to figure out, and he would just be lost in wonder and amazement at many things in the world. Wonder comes from two things, novelty and amazement. Wonder comes from novelty because the first time we see something, it intrigues us. It fills us with curiosity. We wonder what in the world we're seeing for the first time. And this is the world that our younger children live in every day. Some of the youngest ones that were brought up here earlier, you know, everything they see is like that. It's exciting, it's new, it's fresh, because it's novel. Wonder also comes from amazement. Even after we have seen something curious many times, we're still in awe of it if we can't understand it. If we can't comprehend why whatever happens, happens. Jesus' birth actually fulfills both sides of this. Both the wonder of novelty and the wonder of amazement. Jesus' birth was a novelty because no one had ever seen a birth like this one before. Jesus' birth was amazing because what Jesus accomplished by coming to earth is beyond our comprehension. We have yet to understand and appreciate all the ways that that coming has changed our world. But unfortunately, like most things we experience year after year, the novelty of Christmas may begin to wear thin. All too easily, we may begin taking Christmas for granted. And so, it's just another date on the calendar. A little high point, maybe, go back to the humdrum of everyday life. But you see, wonder is a choice. Wonder is a choice, a conscious choice. Recapturing our sense of wonder is a choice we deliberately make. And if we're careful, we can continue our amazement for what God did by sending His Son into the world. And how can we do that? By becoming childlike again. Now Jesus said one time in Matthew 18, 1 through 5, when His disciples asked Him, you know, how is somebody supposed to get into the kingdom of heaven? What is the greatest? Who is the greatest in the kingdom? And He answered them in Matthew 18 in this way. It says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And He called a little child to Him and placed the child among them. And He said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in My name welcomes Me. And I got thinking, what is it that Jesus admires so much about a child that He says, you must be like a child in order to even enter the kingdom of heaven? Specifically, He said, we must become humble. We must humble ourselves as if we were children and recognize how small and lowly we are in order to come into God's kingdom. Now, there are other qualities, other childlike qualities we admire, including innocence, trustfulness, honesty, and unconditional love. But Jesus focused on the child's humility, on their willingness to humbly admit how very small they are and that they still have much to learn. Jesus said, we must put ourselves in the position of a child in order to get into the kingdom of God at all. So my question for us tonight, it's Christmas Eve, 2016, can we approach Christmas again as a child would? If you have young children around, it becomes a little bit easier because you just watch them and you kind of grab onto their emotion, you grab onto their excitement and enthusiasm. But if you're just adults sitting around looking at each other, how do you get this wonder back? Can we humbly admit how very small we are and we still have much to learn? Can we simply stand in awe of God for the birth of Christ that occurred 2,000 years ago? Tonight, we're going to have the privilege of partaking of communion together. We have the privilege to remember Jesus together, to experience anew the wonder of His coming to earth, not only as a baby in a manger, but what all He did while He was here and how He even gave His life for us. Can we wonder about anything more than we wonder about the incarnation of Christ, you know, the coming, how God could become human flesh? People have wrestled with this theologically all the way through for 2,000 years. How is that possible? What does that look like? What power did Jesus have while He was a man here on earth? Can we wonder about anything more than that? I think we can. Because I think we have to look at the end of the story as Jesus went to the cross. We can stand in awestruck wonder at the fact that this same Jesus willingly went to the cross of Calvary on our behalf. And never lose our wonder at this fact that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Tonight, we stand in awe of God, of a God who gave His very Son so that you and I could go free, be free from sin, from shame, from guilt, from condemnation. So tonight, we're going to celebrate Jesus' birth, Jesus' death, and Jesus' resurrection as we gather about the communion table tonight. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to just ask everybody just come down the center aisle from your different rows, starting at the front. Come to the side and be served. Serve yourself, basically, and then go back to your seat by the side aisles. But let's pray together, and let's share in the Lord's Supper at this time. Father, thank you for this opportunity for us to have a very special moment of worship, a moment to be children and to humble ourselves before you and to realize our deep need for you and for Jesus. And we stand in awe of what you have done by giving your only Son to us. We stand in awe, Father, for the love that you have for us that would carry him all the way through to complete sacrifice of his own life so that we could go free, so that we could live forever with you. We pray that our communion time will be very meaningful and that it would be an act of worship as we come before you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please come on up and start being served.